Good morning, let's pray together. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, hello everybody. I wonder how you've been getting on with cultivating healthy spiritual practices, ones that enable us to grow more like Jesus. And if you're not part of a life group who are discussing the various topics and encouraging and challenging each other, then I wonder if you'd like to get in contact and we'll get you settled into a group. This week we're considering fasting. We're bombarded daily with messages from images of unhealthily thin models to foodie programmes enticing us to eat more. We throw food away whilst others starve. Food bank usage is dismaying. Unhealthy relationships with food, comfort eating, not eating enough, overeating are sadly part of our culture. And it's with this as a backdrop that it needs to be said that fasting should not be undertaken by those who have issues relating to food or medical conditions that prevent it. Christian fasting is not about weight loss or for physical benefits. It's a way to pray with our bodies. When we fast, we're saying that pursuing God is more important for us than our daily bread. It is in the Bible, but it's not a command. It's not about earning more brownie points, if you'll pardon the pun, or a way into God's kingdom. Physically, a hunger pang can be a prompt to pray, and there's also more time to pray when we will be eating. And whilst fasting is used for many reasons, and we'll be thinking about those in a moment, it isn't formulaic, a matter of cause and effect. Spiritual practices don't work in that way, but they do have a cumulative effect when we truly seek God. In John 4, the disciples urged Jesus to eat, and he responds with the words, "I have food to eat that you do not know about. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete his work." Yet this is not teaching us that our physical bodies aren't important, rather that we need to allow our spiritual side to flourish as well as our physical bodies. We are embodied spiritual beings. Genesis 2:7 tells us that we are formed from the dust of the earth and with the spirit or ruach, the breath of life. We're both physical and spiritual beings. And I think it's significant that the original sin had to do with eating, and it shows how easy it is to give way to temptation and put our physical desires above our spiritual ones. It's interesting then that in Matthew 4, when Jesus was tempted by the devil after fasting for 40 days, his first temptation was to turn stones into bread. Where humanity failed and gave way to temptation in the Garden of Eden, Jesus triumphs. He reclaims the Genesis story to how it was meant to be. Jesus responded with a no. Jesus was free to do God's will, in contrast to the bondage to the flesh that Adam and Eve experienced. As Jesus said, man cannot live by bread alone. And then later in Matthew, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. The 40 days that Jesus had just spent fasting and in solitude in the desert had made him strong, not weak, because he had control over his physical body, his flesh. Fasting was a twice weekly part of Jewish life in Jesus' time, and the early church also fasted regularly. Today, we want instant gratification. Our world encourages us to do what feels good, and fasting doesn't feel good, certainly initially. Yet Jesus assumes his disciples will fast, encouraging us to participate in this inner spiritual practice without show or demonstration, and warning us to consider our motives. In Matthew 6, verses 16 to 18, we read, "When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." This does not say that public fasting is wrong, but fasting to show off is. So what is fasting and why do it? Well, Scott McKnight calls fasting body talk. Fasting is praying with our bodies. Fasting is not eating food to feast on the Holy Spirit. Most biblical fasts lasted for a day, missing an evening meal, and then the following day's breakfast and lunch, with a simple meal that evening. There are also 3-day and 40-day fasts, and usually people go without food and just drink water. When we read about fasting in the Bible, we discover it goes with prayer. The two produce a synergy, interacting with each other. Fasting was used at many different times. Times of communal repentance in Leviticus 3 on the day of Yom Kippur, where God's people denied themselves, which was a synonym for fasting. And when Ahab humbled himself, God didn't bring disaster on him. As Protestants in the 21st century, we often choose to live with shame and guilt. But confession is for another week. Samuel fasted when Saul was buried. Mourning, weeping and fasting were a common way for Hebrews to grieve. In contrast, we usually turn to food, be that a cup of tea, a comfort food, or the meal that a neighbour has kindly delivered. Our culture isn't the best at grieving. We're better at trying to numb pain or moving on too quickly. But I wonder if there is something in this, as our bodies often don't want food when we are grieving. In the books of Esther and 2 Chronicles, we read about a crisis situation. The Israelites were about to be slaughtered, and Esther called the people to fast together for 3 days and nights before her pleading on their behalf in front of the king. In Jonah chapter 3, we see the king decreed that the Ninevites fasted and prayed as a sign of repentance. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. The fast displayed their intention to seek God, and this relationship changed God's mind. A human change of heart allowed God to act differently, consistent with his holy character. But fasting's not a way to get what you want from God. Fasting is also beneficial to know God's mind when facing a decision. In Acts 13, the disciples prayed and fasted, needing the Holy Spirit's guidance. Fasting is not easy. Our flesh and spirit are at odds with one another. And Paul warns of this in Galatians 5. The freedom we have in Jesus is not to be used to indulge the flesh. We are instead to be led by God's Spirit. We need to set our minds on what God wants, a life of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness and self-control, rather than a life of slavery to our bodies. Our strongest physical desires are often not our deepest desires, those which we know to be true. Too often we define freedom as the ability to do what we want. However, Paul says this is actually slavery to the flesh. Certainly over the years I found I'm very good at convincing myself reasons not to fast, and I suspect I'm not alone. Psalm 69 and verse 10 speaks of the humility we learn with fasting. Fasting can certainly reveal the things that control us. At first we may rationalise that our anger is due to hunger, but then we realise that we're angry because we're an angry person. Whether bitterness, jealousy or fear, fasting has a way of revealing our nature. And this is positive if we want to grow and become more like Jesus. Just as we were thinking last week about solitude and silence, spiritual practices are sometimes called disciplines. They are not for the faint-hearted. It does take discipline. But it is here that we seek and find God with all of our heart. Paul exhorts in Philippians 3, verses 17 to 20. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, just as you have us as a model. Keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For as I have often told you before now, and tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven. Dallas Willard says about fasting, "This discipline teaches us a lot about ourselves very quickly. It will certainly prove humiliating to us, as it reveals to us how much our peace depends on pleasures of eating. It may also bring to mind how we are using food, pleasure, to assuage the discomforts caused by faithless and unwise living and attitudes. Lack of self-worth, meaningless work, purposeless existence, or lack of rest or exercise. If nothing else, though, it will certainly demonstrate how powerful and clever our body is in getting its own way against our strongest resolves. I don't know about you, but I could certainly do with more self-control and self-discipline, those gifts of God's Spirit. But fasting is not about willpower, it's about God's power. In Isaiah 58, we read that the Israelites sought God, yet on the day of fasting, they did as they pleased. They were praying and fasting, but still missing the point. They were doing it out of a sense of obligation, not freedom, and not as an aid to becoming more compassionate. For there's a direct correlation between our love for God and our love for others. Genuine fasting has something to do with undoing justice, feeding the hungry, releasing the oppressed, providing sanctuary for the homeless, knowing God and responding to the poor. In fasting, we are aligning ourselves with the have-nots, and even the simplicity of an intentional act of giving up a coffee or a meal, we can give to the poor. I'm going to end by reading those verses from Isaiah 58. I won't read the whole chapter, but I'd encourage you to get your Bibles out and read it for yourselves. Shout it aloud. Do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their rebellion and to the descendants of Jacob their sins. For day after day they seek me out. They seem eager to know my ways, as if they were a nation that does what is right and has not forsaken the commands of its God. They ask me for just decisions and seem eager for God to come near them. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you have not noticed? Yet on the day of your fasting, you do as you please and exploit all your workers. Your fasting ends in quarrelling and strife and in striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. Is this the kind of fast I have chosen? Only a day for people to humble themselves? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and for lying in sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is this not the kind of fast I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. Then your light will break forth like the dawn and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help and he will say, "Here I am." Amen.